Amen. And you can be seated. It certainly is a pleasure to have you here with us. We believe God's got something just for you. And I want to invite you, if you can now, to open up your Bibles to the book of Proverbs chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, our ushers, they'll be in the aisles now, ready to give you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible at all, good news, now you do. You can keep that one. You can make it your very personal own Bible. If you do have a Bible, just for whatever reason you weren't able to bring it to church with you, then you can take a Bible and then give that Bible back to the ushers at the end of the service. We're opening up those Bibles to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to look here in verse 20. Before we do that, I want to make mention of something that you probably saw out there in the foyer. There is a table out there with a big Admit One ticket. And what that is, it's a booth set up by our youth group, and they're looking to raise money to go to summer camp. What the raffle is for, you pay $5 for a ticket. There are 3,000 tickets. We're looking to sell them all. And you pay $5 for a ticket, and that ticket provides you a chance to win 7 dinners for 2 people to some of the nicest restaurants in all the Jackson metro area. Restaurants like Char and Amerigo, Biagi's, Table 100, Sombra, Babaloo's, even other restaurants like Five Guys. Lots and lots of good restaurants. So it'd be an incredible prize to win. But even more than that, it's not just something you can do for yourself or an opportunity to win a prize. It's something that you can do for our youth group. Basically, we're looking to sell enough tickets to lower the price of admission for all of our youth, thereby making it easy for any youth who wants to go on the trip where they can go. And so literally every penny you put into that goes right to that cause. The restaurants donated the meals. We didn't have to pay anything for them. It's not going to any salary or anything like that. Every penny you donate at the raffle is going towards lowering the price for you to go to summer camp. This summer camp, I believe in it wholeheartedly. I've seen results from it, even a couple of teenagers that I know personally. I saw a zeal in their hearts that they didn't have before they went on the trip. A zeal for God and the things of God and God's plan for their life. They hold the summer camp right before the school year starts, so that way they implant that zeal and implant those beliefs on the youth's heart, so they go into their schools just fired up for the Lord and not drawn away by temptation and all the other things that come with the high school. And so I want to encourage you to participate in the raffle. It will be a huge blessing if you win it, but it will be a huge blessing as well. Just the $5 you donate, it's going to help a kid go to summer camp. So you can buy the tickets out there at the Admit One table. There are other places you can buy them at too. I think there's a table in the youth room. I believe you can even go online to our website, but I'm not sure. You could go out to the table and ask them. But we encourage everyone, if you can, get involved in it. You can buy multiple tickets too. So I encourage you to do that if you're able to. But we're excited about that summer camp, and I'm excited if you have a teenager who's going on it, they will see the Lord do some amazing things at that camp. Proverbs chapter 4 in verse 20, there's some scriptures here that I am very familiar with. I'm sure you are as well. But I'll tell you what, over the last couple of weeks, especially the last couple of days, these scriptures had just become real to me. And I'm telling you this, and I don't say this often, if you understand what I'm talking about today, this literally can change every aspect of your life. I had a message that I was going to preach. It was a continuation of last Sunday's message. I had it all written out. And yesterday I was just praying over it, getting wisdom and praying on over the service and all of those types of good things. And while I just felt impressed to change the message and preach on what we're talking about today. And friend, I'm telling you what, it is absolutely powerful. Let's look here in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. He says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes, but rather keep them in the midst of your heart." Let's stop right here. Notice he's talking about God's word, the Bible is God speaking to you. And he's saying that you are to incline your ear to those words. And then once you receive those words, you're not to stop there. You're to keep those words where? In the midst of your heart. Meaning that just because God's word is sown into your ears does not mean it will stay there. You have to make a conscious decision to do what? Keep it. Let's start in verse 20 again. My son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, health to all their flesh. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of your heart, flow forth the issues of your life. It says you're to guard your heart. You're only to allow the right words to be sown there. You're only to allow the right things to come before your eyes. Your eyes and your ears, they are gates. Your mouth is a gate that feeds your physical body, but your eyes and ears are gates that feed your spirit. What you allow to go through your mouth gets digested in your body and can administer life or death to your system, to your body. What you allow to go through your eyes and what you allow to go through your ears can be life or death to your life, can expand your life or keep your life bound. He says, because of this principle, you are to guard your heart. You are not to allow just anything to come before your eyes, just anything to come into your ears. You are to protect those gates because those gates are the access to your heart. And we are to guard that heart. Now, we know in our physical bodies, and all of you have a physical body, that's why you're here right now. In your physical body, there are organs of your body, many of them of the utmost importance, but perhaps none more important than your heart. Your heart is the thing that ministers life to the rest of the body. You're to guard that heart and even protect your physical heart. Why? Because if that heart stops, life stops. Your heart is critically important. I'm talking about your natural heart. Even people who advertise know this. So they'll advertise products that are heart healthy. You'll see it on cereals or oatmeals or whole grain products. These things are healthy for your heart. Why? They know people are mindful about keeping their physical heart safe. Why? As the heart goes, life goes. The heart stops, life stops. It's a beautiful example for your spiritual walk. If you're born again, you've been made new in Christ. You've got a spiritual heart. It cries out, Abba, Father. That heart in you is where your beliefs are. With the heart, man believeth. In your heart, your spiritual heart, that's where your beliefs are. You're not to allow just anything to come before your eyes or ears, because what comes through your eyes, through your ears, goes to your heart and starts forming beliefs. Those beliefs are the thing that controls your life. Guard your heart, for out of your heart flow forth the what of life? Come on now, out of your heart flow forth what? The issues of your life. Now, this word is very interesting. This word issues doesn't mean what we use it for today there in the Hebrew. You know, you may see someone and you say, man, they have some serious issues. That's not what this scripture is talking about. The issues of life. This word issues back in their day meant this. Look this word up in the Hebrew. It means borders and boundaries. Guard your heart, because out of your heart flow forth the borders and the boundaries of your life. Your life will never move beyond your heart. Your heart, spiritually, it is the source of your life that you see with your eyes. It either restricts you and brings you in close or lets you run free. Your heart is where the boundaries of your life are. Why? Your heart is where you believe. Your heart is the believing force of your nature. Those beliefs form something that I'll call this morning your inner image. You have a belief about yourself. We all do. I do, you do. We all have a belief about ourselves and about how our life should look. That belief comes from our heart. It's from the heart man believeth. That belief is in your heart. And you have a belief that governs everything that you do. Now, I'll give you an example. How many of you in here prefer mayonnaise over Miracle Whip? Can I get a show of hands? Anyone in here? Yeah, we got a lot of people that prefer mayonnaise. Anyone here prefer Miracle Whip over mayonnaise? So, probably 60 mayonnaise. But anyway, so why do you believe one is better than the other? They taste different. And from that experience, you formed a belief that one is better than the other. But here's what's the reality. Which one is better? I heard someone say, well, Miracle Whip. Yeah, that's the better one. But here you have some people saying Miracle Whip is better, but other people saying mayonnaise is better. Why? From an experience, they formed a belief. Now their belief governs their life, and they'll never move beyond that in life until their belief changes. Every time they go into the store, they'll buy the same type of mayonnaise or Miracle Whip. Why do you buy the brand of ketchup you buy? Why do some people prefer Chevy and some people prefer Ford? Everyone's got different opinions about this. Where did those opinions come from? Those opinions came from your belief. That belief governs your life. You will never, ever, 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 ever move beyond those beliefs until your beliefs change. Those beliefs govern even your shopping habits. When you go in and buy the same brand of coffee you've always bought, or the same type of meat you've always bought, or the same type of store you've always shopped in, the reason why you go there is you have a belief in your heart about that product. That belief governs your life, and until that belief changes, your life will never move beyond mayonnaise or Miracle Whip or Hunt's or Heinz. Now, those are little issues. What about the big stuff? What does your heart believe about money? Is it good or is it bad? Is it hard to get or is it easy to get? What about church? Is it essential? Or is it, you can miss it every once in a while? Or is it, you can go if you want to, if it's not raining? What about some of the other big stuff about what type of man you are? Who do you believe you are as a man? Are you a good man? Or in your heart do you think you're not a good man? What about if you're trying to make a change in your life? You know, here we are, we've already lived 2 months of this year, looking to be disciplined in an area. It's like, I want to see results different here, but I'm just undisciplined here. As long as you believe you are undisciplined, you can try to change your results all day long, but you will always be undisciplined until you see yourself different on the inside. Your life out here can never change until you change your image of yourself in here. You could try to change anything about your life, but if you believe you're undisciplined there, you will always be undisciplined until that belief changes. We're in Proverbs. Go over to Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Proverbs 23. You know this scripture here, but it's showing the same spiritual truth. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. You have an image of yourself in your own heart. Your life will never rise above that image. That image is made up of your beliefs. And once something is written or implanted on your heart, heaven and earth will move until what you see out here matches what's in your heart. Oh, there's so much I want to say to you, but I got to build. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. He says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." A man will never rise above his heart. A woman will never rise above her heart. So here's the question. Who do you think you are? Who in your heart do you see yourself as? Are you a good man? Are you not a good man? Are you successful? And you may be going through unsuccessful times, but you know in your heart you have what it takes to produce success. Or are you experiencing success, but yet in your heart you think, you're thinking this won't last long. You got to brace for the worst. Here's the thing about beliefs. Beliefs are things that are established in your heart. Those beliefs then begin governing your life in small things like what type of mayonnaise or Miracle Whip you buy, or in big things about what you attempt to achieve in life. Why do most people never even try to attempt great things? Think about it. Most people don't even try to attempt great things. Well, why not? Beliefs govern life. Let me just say this. You cannot have a dream come true unless you first have a dream. You got to start somewhere, friends. But here's the reality. Your belief is governing your life. It sets your boundaries. Why? Your beliefs are in your heart, and from that spring forth the boundaries of your life. You will never, ever move beyond that boundary. I'll give you this as an example. I think it's one we all can relate to. If you're going down the highway and you see the speed limit as 70, and maybe you're making a long interstate trip, you set cruise control. And most people, you know, will set it for 74, cruise control. Why? Because you've been taught and you believe, because of what you've been taught, if you just go 4 miles over, they're not going to pull you over. And some people say, no, it's 6, no, it's 7, no, it's 8. And that's, once again, why do you believe that? Someone told you that, you open your ear to it, that belief was sown in your heart, and now you govern your life that way. So every time you set cruise control, you typically will set it for the same speed. Why? You've got a belief that's in your heart, that belief will govern your life. So anyway, but say you set that that thing for cruise control, and you set it for 74, going 70 miles speed limit. You set it for 74 and you're cruising along. Now, if you've ever set cruise control, what happens when you get up to a big hill? There's a high incline. You'll slow down a little bit, but the car will work overtime to get you back to the cruise that you set. Or if you're coming down the hill, the car may speed up because it's got momentum, but it will work overtime to bring you back to the speed you set. So that acts as a control mechanism for the car. The same thing is true in your beliefs. Your beliefs will govern every action in this life, from the big stuff to the little stuff, from what you believe about money to what you believe about church, from what you believe about your country to what you believe about politics. We could go on and on and on and on and on, but I guarantee you most people have the same pattern of behavior in life because their beliefs are telling them to exhibit that pattern. Your life will not change until your beliefs change. You can try to experience better results, but if your heart is set here, you can try to reach above a new level, to the next level, but until your heart changes, until you believe something different in here, your life will never get to that place. I'll give you an example how a belief controls behavior. I was raised in a house where going to church was just not an option. I mean, it was no matter what happens, we are going to church. And obviously, as a preacher's kid, you would expect that to happen. But it wouldn't matter what was going on, we were going to church. I was just taught that it's where church is where you learn God's word. And what could be more important than learning the word of God? Because if you can please God by exercising his word and believing it, you will have it made. I mean, that belief is formed in me, that church is the one of the most important things you can do all week because it's at church you learn God's ways. That belief was ingrained in me since I was a little fella. When I went to Rhema Bible school there, I was around preaching all the time. But not only that, I was a member of a local church there, Rhema Bible Church. They had Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights. And there were so many times I did not feel like going to Sunday night service. You work long weeks, Oh, gosh, you're already here and preaching, you know, 4 hours every day from the Bible school you're going to. And there were times where I just wanted to take a nap and did not want to roll out of bed to go back to work. I would have, or go back to church, then I'd have to go to work after that. I worked at a coffee shop. But anyway, I would always find myself 9 times out of 10 choosing to go to church. Any time where I made a decision, I'm not going to go that night. I mean, it was like that belief on the inside of me would just rise up and smack me around until I made a decision to pull myself out, get myself dressed, and go over to church. Why? I have a belief on the inside of me. Now, there may have been, I think I can name probably twice where I didn't go. But I'd always go back the next week. Why? That belief controls behavior. You may have experiences that veer one way this way or one way that way, but eventually that belief will bring you back center. Now that's a positive belief to have. Church is a positive thing, especially if you're in the right one. But what about a negative belief? I counsel with men all the time who want to be better men. They want to be better fathers. They want to be better husbands. They want to be more successful. And they want it. I'm not just talking about a whim. I'm talking about they want it. They want to be a better man with every fiber of their being. And they'll come in and I'm trying to be better. I want to be better. But they keep finding themselves messing up. And when that happens, I've always noticed this. They want to be better men, but they don't believe they are a good man. And until they believe they are a good man, they never will be one. If you do not see it, you will not be it. You will not be disciplined until in your heart you see yourself as disciplined. You will not achieve better results in sales until you see yourself achieving better results in sales. Your belief in your heart goes into your life and sets the boundaries for you. What do you believe about you? What do you believe about you? There are a lot of people with a negative self-image because they were told by someone that they weren't smart enough, that they weren't pretty enough. Their self-esteem is down here. They never would even attempt to go for success because they've never been told that they could. They'll never even try great things because they think in their heart that they're just stuck in for an average life. That may be for other people, but that's not for me. Why do you believe that? There may be other people who view the complete opposite. That view that they could do anything in life. That maybe they had a parent who told them, anything you want to be in life, you can be successful at. If you put your hand to it, God will prosper. You're a good son. You may make mistakes. You may mess up. But you're a good son. And that belief transmitted all the way into their adult life. And now they believe that when they try to get a job, that they are well qualified. That belief opens up doors. Why? That belief sets the boundaries. What do you believe about you? And why do you believe that? The only way to change your life is to change your beliefs. You could want change all day long, but until your beliefs change, your life never will. Let me show you an example of where this happened for someone. Mark chapter 10. Go over there in Mark chapter 10 and we'll see an example of this. I've got tons of examples I want to give you, and we'll get to those perhaps next week. But I want to show you this one in particular. As you think in your heart, so are you. The image you have of your heart, of your life, governs your life. You may have a different experience in the natural out here, but if your heart sees something different, heaven and earth will move until the image that you see with your eyes matches the image you see in your heart. Every time. This is what faith is all about. Faith is a belief. It's a persuasion. It's a firm belief. And when that belief gets sown in your heart and you keep it there, heaven and earth will move until your life matches the belief you have in you. We see an example of this in Mark chapter 10. and verse 46. It said, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people followed him, and blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and saying, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.'" Now watch this in verse 50. "And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus." Keep that in mind. Verse 51, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto you?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' Jesus said unto him, 'Go your way, thy," what? "Faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Now, Jesus said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." How did this man exhibit faith? When he got up to go to Jesus, Jesus saw him throw off his garment. This is why this is significant. You may have heard me mention this before. If you go to this church, we have so many new people that I want to make sure everyone understands the significance of this. When this blind man cast aside his garment, he was casting aside his image as a blind man, his identity as a blind man. See, back in the day, there were a lot of people who had extreme medical conditions that would keep them from going to work. People who were lame, or people who had leprosy, or people who had blindness, other ailments of the flesh like that. And the government wanted to make sure that they had a system to provide for them. So they would go show themselves to the priest, and the priest would certify that they are really in a condition where they cannot work for a living. So they would give them a garment to identify them as someone who was disabled, so that then they could go out to the streets and start begging for money, and people would have compassion, knowing that their ailment was literally something that would keep them from going to work. And so when they handed this man his garment, it was to certify to him and to everyone else that he was a blind man, therefore worthy of receiving alms. When Jesus called him, he was still blind. But when he got the call, he rose up and cast away that identity, cast away that garment that let the whole world know that he was a blind man. Why? Because in his heart, even though he could not see, he fully expected that when he got to Jesus, he would see. He changed his identity before he even got to Jesus. And when he got to him, Jesus saw that change of identity and said, "Your faith," not "my power, your faith has made you whole." Well, what was his faith? His faith was when his identity changed. When he saw himself differently in here, heaven and earth moved to make that a reality in his life. If you get to believe in your heart, heaven and earth will move until what you see out here matches that belief. So what do you believe? What do you believe about life? What do you believe about you? What do you believe takes to be successful? I guarantee you everyone in this room has a different definition for success. Where did that definition come from? And what would it take for you to be successful? Why is that success, and why would it take that? We all have these different images, but here's what I want to get to you at, and what I want you to know before you leave this place. Those beliefs that are in your heart are governing your life. Until those beliefs change, your life never will. Where did most of your beliefs come from? We have millions of different beliefs and opinions about any number of different people, places, things, products, cars, life. Where did most of your beliefs come from? They came from your childhood. To make a belief in someone's heart, you have to have an impression. When you're impressed by something, a belief is being formed in your heart. That belief is being impressed upon it. That impression is what the Bible calls writing something on the table of your heart. When you're a child, you're never more impressionable. When you have little children, you can build a belief in them about anything. They'll believe anything. Well, how do you know that? I'll give you an example. Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy, Santa Claus. None of those things are real. But yet they'll believe they are. Why? Because someone told them that. Those words went through that person's mouth, into that person, other person's ears, all the way into their heart, and their heart formed a belief. And they live by that reality. Is it real reality? No, but to them it is. Why? A belief is in their heart. When you're a child, your beliefs are formed primarily by your parents or those who are watching over you. Beliefs about everything from, like we mentioned, products to politics to church. Beliefs are being formed in you. I'll give you an example. My wife to this day will refuse to wake up our kids in a way that's not overly, overly nice. The reason why, when she was a kid, her mom would always come in when it was time to wake up, open up the door real loud, push back the curtains, let all the light in the room, pull all the covers off and say, "Come on, we gotta go." Well, she, as a child, experienced that. She saw that. She heard that. She experienced that. It made an impression, and it impressed upon her heart that that is the wrong way to wake up anyone. So to this day, to wake up our kids, it doesn't matter if we're 15 minutes late. She'll open up the door real nice and sweet. She'll close the door real nice and sweet. Go over to the bed, just lift up some covers, and just tickle the back of the kid until they wake up. I mean, she could tickle for 15 minutes, but she refuses to do anything other than that to wake up her kids. I'm completely different. When I'm up, I'm up. I mean, when I'm up, I'm wanting to go over to the window, open up the curtains, and let the world know Joel is awake. I mean, turn on all the lights. When I'm up, I'm up. So I'll do that, not even thinking about it, because that's just the way I do. I'll wake up, go over, open up the curtains, and my wife, it's like she's a vampire. The arms go up. She doesn't want any type of light on her. I mean, she just can't believe that anyone would do anything like that to anyone else. I'm like, what in the world? What's going on here? I just open up some windows. But she's got a belief in her heart that that's the wrong way to wake anyone up. Where did that belief come from? Came from her childhood. She experienced that, and because of that experience, it governs how she lives to this day. Now, what I want you to do this week, because I don't have time to teach you how to build a belief in you, what I want you to do this week is just watch yourself. Why do you feed your kids that for breakfast? Why do you play that kind of music? Why do you allow certain things to go in your household? How do you keep your house? Look in your fridge. Why do you have those types of products? And think back to, did I experience any of this when I was a child? Did I experience that type of product, those types of things? Why do I have the beliefs that I have about everything? Most of us, we had our beliefs established, imprinted upon us from our parents. And the reality is that's the exact way God wanted it. He wanted patriarchs, heads of household, who would open up this book and learn God's ways, would listen to Him and walk with Him in close fellowship, that they would get God's views on every subject. The first thing God wanted Adam and Eve to do was have a family. He wanted Adam and Eve to imprint upon their kids' values. Have you ever read your Bible? I know when I was a little kid, I'm going to read the Bible and be a good Christian. I'm going to read the Bible. And I'd get over into the Old Testament, and it would get to all the begats. So-and-so begat so-and-so, and this person begat so. I'm thinking, who in the world's going to read this thing? I can't imagine this being fun or entertaining. But now that I'm on the other side with more knowledge, I can look at it and see exactly what God was trying to show. A lineage of faith. That people would arise with God's ways and imprint those ways upon the hearts of their kids and upon the hearts of their grandkids. heads of households that would rise up as men and women of God and understand that what I'm saying, what my kids are hearing, what my kids are seeing, it is more than just them growing up. I am imprinting upon them values and beliefs. And chances are they will learn to live that way for the rest of their life. What are we teaching them about men? What are we teaching them about marriage? We need people who will rise up and take God's words and build that into their belief system and then imprint those beliefs until their kids. What's happening in society today is we've got kids growing up and what's impressing them is MTV and things like that that imprint upon them wrong values on how to treat women, wrong values on work ethic. Wrong values on all these different deals, and they're growing up with wrong values and then passing on those values to other people. Friend, I'm telling you, we need heads of families, patriarchs, men and women of faith that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is what God says on how you should treat a lady. This is what God says on how you should treat other people. This is what God says about money. This is what God says about faith. This is what, and imprint those values. I was fortunate when I grew up to have two strong parents, strong men and women of faith, and they imprinted values on my heart that I still live by to this day and have served me very, very well. Values, and I look at my life and how I treat people. I saw from my mother how people should be treated. I saw from my father how to live by faith. I saw from my father a man who was unashamed to lift his hands to the Lord. I saw from my mother the same thing. If you've ever seen her worship, you know exactly. She doesn't care about anybody else there. I saw that as a little boy looking up at him in church and made an impression upon my soul. Governed me from that point on. I was fortunate. Maybe you were too. But friends, there are a whole bunch of other people who weren't fortunate. They never saw a good man. They never saw a good wife. They never saw a good mother. They never saw success. They just never saw it. And because they never saw it, they don't even attempt to go for it because their beliefs haven't even been developed in that area. They've never seen greatness, a great marriage, a great life. They've never seen it, and so they don't know how. And then they go out and try to want a success and try to create it, but then they're stuck because they don't know how, because they've never been taught. They've got either no beliefs in the subject or wrong beliefs. Here's the deal, though, and this is a beautiful thing. When you're young, you are more impressionable. The younger you are, the easier it is to build a belief in you. That's why it's the extreme importance that you bring your kids to church. Put them in the having a strong preschool, nursery, and childcare. Thank God for Tyler Thompson, our children's pastor. I mean, he cares about those young kids. He's trying to imprint upon their hearts the right beliefs about God and how God wants us to live. When they're young, it's easy to build beliefs. That's why you got to make sure you build the right beliefs in them. I think it's like 77% of Christians today came to Christ before age 13. Why? That belief was imprinted upon them early. But once you get older, you get way less pliable. It's more difficult to imprint a belief upon your heart. And that can be a bad thing, but can also be a very, very good thing. Once you get older, you have to choose what you believe. And you have the capacity right now, if you're sitting in this room, to choose what you want to believe. That at this point in your life, you can change anything about your beliefs, therefore changing anything about your life. Did you know that people who immigrate into this country are three times more likely to be a millionaire than people who are born here? Why do you think that is? Because they enter this country with a belief that it's easier to create prosperity here than in other places. They see it and they become it. What are we seeing, friends? In your heart, how do you see yourself? Why are you acting these ways, whether good or bad? Examine your beliefs and ask yourself, did they come from God's word? Or did they come from other things? Was I inclining my ear to God's words, or did I open my ear to the wrong things? We're going to talk about all this next week. But what I want you to do is, like I said, this week, give you some homework. Think about why you drive the kind of car you drive, why you believe it may be better than another brand. Why do you believe that? Where did the majority of your beliefs come from? When you go out to go to a restaurant, why did you go to that one? When you ate that food versus another, why did you? When I can't stand mushrooms. There are other people who love mushrooms. You know why? I grew up in a household where mushrooms were not in anything that we ate. I was taught it was a fungus, and you don't want to eat fungus. And so, why are different? Most of our beliefs came from other places. And that's why the Bible rises up and says, okay, now that you're old, you choose. You choose. Choose life or choose death. The choice is yours, but your beliefs will control your life. Oh, but if you can change them, you can change anything you see out here. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to teach you how to change them next week. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We do love you with all of our heart.